Amen. Book of Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And he closes with a good amen. Got a simple thought that I want you to take home with you. Unto him. And I'm going to say it three different ways, but I want to ask you, who's the center of your life? What are you building your life on? Who are you revolving your life around? Who are you living your life for? You say, Brother Raines, good night. It's noon. And I mean, the Methodists are already in line at Golden Corral. Of course my life's built on Jesus. No, you can adapt to progress and still not be building your life on Jesus. You can be a good independent fundamental Baptist and still not be building your life on Jesus. I'm afraid one reason we have the defections that we do from Bible-believing churches is a generation or two grew up thinking and hearing the independent fundamental Baptist way, the progress way, the anchor way, the whoever way, and they didn't see it lived out in the daily life. And they get to a certain age, and because of the internet, they're able to see and hear what others are doing, and that's why they're flip-flopping around like salamanders on the deck. Just flopping around, just, you know, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try this, they hurt me, I'm going to go here. And I'm afraid that we've raised a generation that has not seen people truly build their lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. My home, my mom, my dad, my church were not perfect. They never said they were. I never thought they were. My dad, I guess the right thing to say would be greatest man I know. I'm human. I'm smart enough to know that, you know, he's got feet of clay like the son that he fathered. One of the greatest men I know. Not one time in my life do I remember waking up or going to bed and thinking, he's perfect. He's God. Dad was so real, you knew he wasn't perfect. Does that make sense? That was never the standard. You know, we're perfect, so you be like us and you'll be perfect. No, all they ever wanted us to do was fall in love with Jesus. And I can say that with all sincerity. They pointed us to Jesus. And if you've been here 6 months or 13 years under the time God's given me here, I think you know that's my heart, is to tie you to Jesus. I'd rather die than let you down. Ask her. I'd rather die than let you down. But I have never wanted to tie anybody to me. I want you head over heels in love with Jesus, because I probably will let you down. And I want you so in love with Jesus that when I let you down, you just go to your prayer closet and say, Lord, help the preacher. Help the preacher, Lord. You're the one I'm running to. So I want to preach for a few minutes unto him. Look at verse number 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Number one, very briefly, number one, the possibility. Now unto him that is able, when I stop, say the next word. Now unto him that is able to keep you from He did not write that because he needed words on a page. He wrote it because these people that he had challenged deeply to stand in the midst of apostasy, they had already taken a stand that had cost them dearly. So if there was anybody he was going to think would not fall, it should be this crowd. And he closes it after warning them about all the false teachers, and we're going to get to that part. If you're just now getting on the moving bus with us, we looked at the first three verses of the chapter. We've looked at the last five or six verses of the chapter. Those are my bookends, and I'll explain that a little bit more at the end of the service. He is writing to people. Apostasy has crept into good churches. And he has commended them for standing, challenged them to keep standing. He's done everything he can to expose how you recognize a false teacher. But Brother Cam, he closes it with saying, "Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling." Why did he have to say that? He had to say that because when you're standing, it is real easy to assume that you always will be. When you're standing and others are falling, it is real easy to get full of pride, pat yourself on the back and say, "I'm glad that's not me. I want to stand." But I'm hearing more and more talk about we're standing, we're standing, we're standing. And I'm afraid in 5 to 7 years, we're going to have a generation who goes, "We're standing." And they're like that crowd that left the Obama convention about, what was it, 10 years ago? They came out the door weeping, going, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can." And a reporter walked up to him and he said, "You seem very moved." "I am moved." "What are you moved about?" "We can. Yes, we can." He said, "That's powerful. You can what?" He went, "I don't know, but we can." And just kept on weeping. He had been worked into a frenzy. "Yes, we can." If we're not careful, we're going to raise a generation of young people in independent Baptist churches. "Yes, we stand. Yes, we stand. Yes, we stand." What are you standing for? "I don't know, but we're standing." I want you head over heels in love with Jesus and doing what you do and not doing what you don't do because you love Jesus, not because you're proud of your stand. There's a difference. So the very fact, Jake, that Jude had to say, "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling," shows you the possibility of falling. So I came for 3 minutes to tell Progress Baptist Church, as it has been said multiple times today, I'm glad you're here. But if you're patting yourself on your back and you don't think you're ever going to fall because you're here on a Sunday at 12 whatever, let me tell you something, you could fall between now and next Sunday. The boldest statement I've ever heard in my entire life, and I say this with no gladness, the strongest statement I've ever heard from a pulpit about, I'm not falling, I never have, I have no intention to, and I'm pretty confident I never will. I hope I just made you very uncomfortable. The strongest statement I've ever heard along those lines was followed about 2.5 years later. I still to this day do not know how the fella got the number. He called the old-fashioned office phone at the chaplain's office at Greenville County Detention Center, Miss Penny, at 10:30 at night. Pulling double duty in a couple places. I was there late one night. The office phone rang. Nobody has an office phone in 2000 whatever. And that phone rang, old-fashioned, this kind. Pick it up, put it up to your phone. I said, "Hello, Brother Russ, here's what I heard." I'm not making fun. Took 2 or 3 minutes to get his composure. I didn't ask him, I don't guess it matters. How'd you reach me? All I know is God wanted him to talk. And I hope it was a help. He's been restored. But Seth, he sobbed and heaved on that phone like a little, hurt, broken, sick child and said, "Brother Raines, I have fallen. And I'm not glad about it. And if it happens to you, me, or anybody in this place, we're going to do everything we can to restore each other. It's what we've done for years and we're not stopping now. There are qualifications for certain roles in the ministry. We understand that. But I'm here to plead with you at the end of a very good day, a very sweet day, a very special day, unto him that is able to keep you from falling." I made this clear in the first service. We don't correct our Bible. We do define words. We're careful about how we do that. The word "fall" there can also be defined as stumble. And I want to spend 60 seconds there. You've never falled without stumbling first. I don't know if you had the misfortune of watching me fall out here a couple months ago. I wish it was on YouTube and I was getting royalties from it, because no comedian's ever done as good a job. I think I fell for 3 minutes from the moment I stumbled till I hit the ground, to be followed 2 weeks later by a similar incident, mowing the yard at the cottage, backing up with the mower. You guys know how you do on a small yard. You just go up and back, up and back. And there was something there that wasn't there the last time I went back. and down I went, and it took 3 minutes. I wish that if they were both online, I'd be bringing in the dough when those things get monetized. Nobody falls without stumbling. The sweet Holy Ghost probably sent somebody at Progress Baptist Church a message today and said, you hadn't fallen, but you stumbling. And I'm not the Holy Ghost, but I can preach God's word and ask him to speak to your heart and just say, hey, the Holy Ghost, Seth, used a verse of scripture in my morning Bible reading today to point something out in my life where I just need to move a protective fence a little closer in instead of moving it a little bit farther out. Amen. Are we not bombarded with filth on every hand in this culture, in this day? I don't want to take your minds to the wrong place. I just want to say to you, words that Southerners didn't use in public that were common words in New York City the first time I took a school group up there. Y'all with me? I'm not trying to take your mind in the wrong place, but I've got to preach to this generation. Are now so common in the heart of the Bible Belt in the South that it makes me sick to my stomach. Children, teens, Bojangles, working, serving, all that. You say, Brother Raines, that doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It corrupts the mind. Corrupts the mind. We live in a filthy generation. God help us. God help us. Some of you are stumbling, and your pastor's here to ask you to catch your balance. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody and get to somebody, break your fall and hopefully keep you from falling. And all God's people said, the possibility, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, number two, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Look at that presence. Look at that presentation. Present you faultless. Is that not amazing? Who's he going to present us to? Himself. Ephesians chapter 5, you are the bride of Christ, and he is conforming you to the image of Christ that he may present you to himself as a bride faultless and spotless. You are going to make Jesus' day, that day, the Bible calls it that day, when he is able to present you to himself in the person of the Father, faultless. That is going to thrill him. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm making two applications here. I want you to imagine Jesus. You've been to enough weddings. What's the moment everybody's waiting on? It ain't that stupid kiss. It's her. Dun, 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 dun. Bear hunting, big old burly men from Southern Henderson County get a tear in their eye. Ugly men, I won't call you out, get a tear in their eye. And the groom, he loses it. Why? That bride's being presented. Do you think it's going to be any less when we are presented in heaven? The likes of us that he has cleaned up and turned into something beautiful. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. This is not Jesus presenting the bride to himself. This is Paul getting to present the ones he has ministered to. What is our hope? That has been used a dozen times today. Our joy, our crown of rejoicing. Here's what he's saying, church. Here's what's going to make heaven heaven for me. Ye, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Ye are our glory and joy. Brother Rush, did you lead anybody to the Lord in nearly 6 years in southern Mississippi? Can you imagine the joy of standing before the throne and them being presented to the Lord as one of his redeemed ones? And I speak as a man, I speak as a fool, and Jesus saying, how'd he get here? And that person turns and says, that preacher right there told me all about you. Anybody got an imagination? That's what Paul said, Billy, to the church at Thessalonica. When I get to heaven, and not just one, thank God for one, okay, but when I put a church family up there and says, Jesus, these are the ones I ministered to from this point to this point. And then the Lord had to hand it over to somebody else. Thank you, Lord, for letting me have a part in their life. That's going to bring joy to you. If it brings joy to me and you, your son serving the Lord in Alaska, your son serving the Lord in Alaska in a village that everybody said, don't mess with, 300 people ain't worth your time. Tell that to the 300. If that thrills our hearts, what is it going to mean to Jesus to get to present his bride to the Father and say, Lord, these are the ones I redeemed with my own blood. Here's the wounds in my hands and my feet and in my side, the presentation. We do not live in light of the fact that we are one day going to be presented before the Father. If it gripped our hearts that Jesus is longing for the day when he can present me to the Father, that's the same thing as presenting him to himself, deity of Jesus, that day that he is longing for to present me before the Father. If that grips my heart, I will get on board with everything Jesus is doing to clean me up and make me a bride worth presenting. Number one, the possibility. Number two, the presentation. And then lastly, look at the end of the verse. The praise. Now unto him, 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. Number one, the possibility of falling. I'm glad I don't have to fall. Number two, the presentation. Number three, the praise. Church, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Living, loving, serving, giving, singing, playing. I hope y'all know I enjoy playing. I hope it shows. I was sitting there today, I was going, thank you, Lord. Mom and Dad had a vision for me to learn an instrument. If you'll call somebody else to pastor this church, I'll boot Miss Laura off. I'm bigger than her, and I'll just be the pianist. A lot of churches have two pianos now. I said, well, I was just thinking. You say, Brother Rains, you running a rabbit. No, I'm not. It ain't about me coming and you leaving going, man, the preacher plays the piano. No, no, no. I better be playing the piano for him. We better be taking care of the yard for him. You say, Brother Rains, of course, of course. We're Bible believers. We know that. We hang signs for him. No, we've got a sin nature bigger than Dallas. And if we don't get mentioned in the bulletin, we get our feelings hurt. Churches split all the time over the pettiest, silliest stuff. And you're like, what happened? You didn't call my child's name after he planted a dandelion in the... Who was he doing it for? Oh, it's wonderful to be thanked and patted on the back and missed. We've talked about that today. But let me tell you something. I'm doing all that for Jesus. Amen. And Progress Baptist Church, if we make up our mind, we're doing all of this for Jesus. We don't care who gets. You know what? It's one thing if you and everybody else gets forgot. What if you and three do it and two of them get recognized and one don't? And that be you. Boy, now that's when your spirituality is tested. Hey, Brother Rains, you are ruining a good message. Oh, no, I'm not. It's unto him. This is unto him, Baptist Church. This is unto him, choir. This is unto him, marriage service. It's not for me to get recognized or patted on the back. This ministry is unto him. Jude, first of the book, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, Brother James, God the Father, preserved in Jesus and called. I believe that called is the work of the Holy Spirit. So verse 1, you got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Mercy, grace, and peace, and love, all that multiplied. Right? What's the first two verses about? Everybody tell me. Him. The answer is him. What's the first two verses about? Him. What's the last two verses about? Him. That's our bookends. There's a whole lot more in there. Oh, yeah. False teachers. Old Testament examples. Gory stuff. Nasty stuff. You're going to spend more hours out of this. Let's equate the church with our lives being unto him. You're going to spend more hours out of this church than you're going to spend in. But just like verses 1 and 2 and 24 and 25 tell us my life's all about unto him. Everything I do from tomorrow through Saturday is anchored by the fact that my life is unto Him. That puts life into perspective. You see, 500 years ago, men would say, they'd read verses, they'd go, oh, if I'm out here working a job, if I'm a blacksmith, if I'm a, if I'm doing all these things y'all men do, and ladies, he said, if I'm doing that, it's all about me. So I've got to go live in a monastery. No, men, the women lived in the monastery. Yeah, men were in the monastery. Women were in the convents. But I think they snuck out every now and then. You can't control your flesh. The Holy Spirit is the only thing going to give you self-control. If I go live in a monastery and they slide a slice of bread under the door every day, then I will beat this flesh into submission. That's silliness. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Brother Lohman, CRNA, right? 17 years ago, Christy, Ben, this very afternoon, this very minute, we were standing in a hospital waiting room, and the doctor said, we're going to keep her comfortable. I was so ignorant to hospital lingo, I thought that was a good thing. All we had ever been to the hospital for, God is my witness, all we had ever been to the hospital for was to bring her and another healthy baby home. God's my witness. Four times, God, looked, four healthy babies. He said, we're going to keep her comfortable. Tammy works in the daughter's office. She went, do what? You're giving up? And Mom, bless her southern heart, she said, he said, there's one more test, but we can't do it. Mom, why? Yeah. Why can't you do it? And while, Brother Lohman, while the doctor is answering, and the answer comes, it's like when he heard it, he knew, that, okay, he said, she's already had this test and this test and this test, and I can't do this one in the same 24-hour period. And then he stopped and he said, because it was die, he said, she's 20. She probably still, her body would be more juvenile than adult. Let me go ask a question. I will forever be grateful that neurological surgeon was humble enough to say, let me go ask somebody else. Long story short, came back and he said, "That we can do the test. Praise the Lord, do the test." He came back, he said, and before he left to go do that test, I'm going somewhere with all this. He said, it'll either be so deep we can't operate, it'll be mid-level where we can operate, but it'll be risky, or it'll be on the surface, and it'll be very easily fixed. He went and did the test. He came back grinning. He said, it's right on the top of her brain. He said, we're taking her back to surgery right now. And God intervened and spared her life. I said all that to say this. 17 years ago, it was September 10th was a Sunday. Stuff gets burned in your mind. I'm glad he was doing neurosurgery and somebody was doing anesthesia, and there were attending nurses doing that for the glory of God. Now, not all of them were born again. My point is, you've got a lot. I said all that, Andrew, to say this. You've got a piece of equipment to drive between now and next Sunday. You got some knuckleheads to supervise between now and next Sunday. You got some draft papers to look at between now and next Sunday. Right? Anchor your life on either end with Him. Jude is the most scathing rebuke of false teaching. It and 2 Peter go hand in hand. Jude probably is a little more, but he anchors it with Him. Some independent Baptists get so wrapped up fighting the false teachers that they don't anchor themselves with Him. Don't let good things take you away from Him. Don't let bad things take you away from Him. Don't let the things you've got to do as a husband, daddy, mama, teacher, all of the above, don't let those keep you away from Him. Anchor your life in Him.